Hallelujah. He's in the house today. Hallelujah. I am forever grateful. Blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can congregate again today in the house of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we're thrilled to be here, and we're thrilled to lift up your holy name because you are worthy. We pray, Lord, that anything spoken out of our mouth today would be holy and acceptable to you, Heavenly Father. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, because you are the King. Thank you, Lord. Well, in the Bible study group that we have, there are a few girls, and we do it every other week. We have fun, right, Connie? It's a good study. One of the girls in the group saw something on Facebook, and I read it, and it really intrigued me. Now listen to this. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacharias was short. Abraham was old, and Lazarus was dead. And at the end of it, it says, now what is your excuse? What is our excuse, people? Guess what? The answer to that question, we don't have one. You come as you are. You come as you are. Isn't there a song that goes, just as I am, without one plea? So as you tune in today from Facebook land or the church here, let's just keep that in mind. Just as I am, without one plea. Because that's how I came to the cross. That's how you came to the cross if you're blood washed and saved. That's how any of us come to the cross. Right, Sandy? Just as one plea, and we can come to the cross and thank the Lord because there is no excuse. Hallelujah. All right, I'm all done.
Yeah, you're right. No excuse. Good morning. I'm John Sandy. My wife, Cynthia. This is The Pulse in Gassaway, West Virginia. And we have other locations like The Pulse in Winfield and also Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we have a group in St. Albans that meets. So always glad to get together with other believers because sometimes during the week we don't see many, depending on where you work and what you do for a living. We are on part 3 on Become an Overcomer. It's your choice. And it really is. Everything's our choice. We've talked about this from time to time. And we get in places where we get stuck in the mud. Sometimes we just, it seems like we're just spinning our wheels, don't we? Excuse me. But God wants us to overcome things instead of things simply constantly. You know, how many of us talk about things that may have happened 30 years ago? It's like we're still stuck in that mud, in that one area. Maybe not in other areas, but certain areas we're like, we just can't seem to get over the hump. And we need to realize that it really is a choice to move away from those things that affect you. It's important that we take steps and make certain decisions that help lead us in the right direction. One of the things we shared last week was some points about how do we become an overcomer? What's important to become an overcomer? The one that we shared a week or so ago was establish a firm foundation. You know, you can stand on sinking sand or you can stand on the rock, the Word of God, and that He is Lord over all. So if we are founded in Him, that means that we have now settled ourselves into the Word of God. Everything in life, everything that we strive to do in our life, all goes back to how does it line up with the Word of God. We've got all kinds of beliefs out there. We've got all kinds of religions and cults and people that are doing all kinds of crazy, wild things. because they're not grounded in the Word. They know the Word. They can even share a scripture. Sometimes out of context, but they can share a scripture. But to really know the Word and hide it in our hearts is what gives us in our mind the mind of Christ. Because Jesus himself only defended himself with the Word of God. So if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we got to think what he thinks. We've got to think about the Word of God and how it lines up in our life, because you can have all kinds of ideas and it can be really popular. But it doesn't line up with the Word. And I challenge everyone that whatever your belief system is, that you find out, does it line up with the Word? And we make excuses when it doesn't. Well, this is the 20th century. This is a whole different era than back then. Yeah, I believe the Bible, but there are some things today that the Bible doesn't apply to or deal with. Yes, it does. In one form or fashion, it deals with every issue in your life. You may believe something and feel like that it's sound doctrine in your eyes and get a lot of people to follow you and believe it as well. But somewhere along the way, we have not tied it into the Word of God. For example, we know that certain words we use today weren't in the Bible. Certain contemporary words. Sometimes in the late 1800s, it doesn't even show up. The word to be raptured, or the word homosexual. Certain words that are more contemporary than the Bible, we think, well, then this is something new. No, it's not new, because there are other things in the Bible that talks about the rapture. It doesn't say the word, but it's saying the same thing, that we'll be caught up with him. The Bible talks about how homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but it does, may not use the word homosexual, but Romans, the first chapter of Romans and other places in the New Testament, not just old, in the New Testament, is laid out very clearly that a man shall not lie down with a man. A woman shall not lie down with a woman. So you see, they are the same. So no matter what you're going through in life, whatever your situation you are, you need to establish a firm foundation based upon the Word. You can tie the Word of God into anything you're going through, whether it be your honesty, whether it be your integrity, or being a light in this world, hiding the Word in our heart, and all these things. So we must have a firm foundation. If we're going to really become an overcomer. Now, what does overcomer mean? It means that you overcame. Pretty technical, isn't it? When you are an overcomer, then you have overcome something, obstacle in your life. And we should all, as Christians over the years, look back and see where God has helped us to overcome things from our past. But we have to set our mind on Christ. So, once we have a firm foundation and we know that the Word of God is our truth, and that's what we're talking about, there are men's ideas, men's opinions, men's, quote, facts. There are people that believe some really wild stuff and they feel like they have traced it back through studying genealogy, through studying the way our earth was formed and evolves and how old it is. And because of those limited facts, we conclude that this must be what happened. See, instead of taking limited facts, see, truth is all the facts together. It's the complete story. Truth is. So you may have a few facts, few ideas, a few hypotheses, and from that devise a final truth about something in which we don't have. God himself holds the final truth. So as we continue on, we'll get to a couple other reasons, ways that being an overcomer can profoundly affect your life and get you started on the right path. So we know we need a firm foundation. We need the Word of God hidden in our heart, and we need to make sure that we don't compromise the Word and believe anything that does not line up with the Word, because it is destruction. Anything other than the Word of God will lead to destruction. Because you just have just enough truth to get in trouble. Sometimes we don't have any truth at all, and it can get us in trouble. So you don't want to be ignorant of the Word of God. You don't want to be ignorant on the personality of our Savior that we follow. In order for us to renew our minds, we talked about that a moment ago, and operate with the mind of Christ, we must empty our own way of doing things, our own understanding of things, so that God can fill our minds with Him, His way, His understanding, His thinking, and ultimately, His mind. So, it says here that we've got to empty ourselves of our way of thinking. Now, that's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? We're like, we need to put on the mind of Christ. But you've got to understand, in order to put on the mind of Christ, you must first make room for it. You've got to empty out those ideas that are not of Him. Any way of thinking. And there's a lot of things in us that we have learned, we've been taught, but wrongly taught. And there's different categories for unbelief and the reason why we have it. Some is natural. What's natural mean? It means that some people have unbelief because they simply know no other way, and they devise their way of thinking, and they reason it out. And there are several ways of creating unbelief in your life. That is just one of them. Another one is being taught. If you're taught unbelief, you're taught the wrong way. And we are like sheep, really are, to slaughter. There are people that are just convinced, I think I mentioned it here last week or so, that a man said to a minister after he got through preaching, "I just want you to know, young man, that I believe the way I believe longer than you've been alive." Well, that just means, like I said, he's been stupid a long time. Because just the fact that you've convinced yourself or you convinced someone else does not make it truth. Is not a firm foundation, will not make you an overcomer. See, in order to be an overcomer, you've got to be well-grounded, as I mentioned. In order to be an overcomer, you've got to be convinced. What's another word for convinced? Having faith. You have to have faith that's grounded in a word that sets you on a firm foundation. So, when we get to the point where we decide, and it is a choice, I'll say it again, to choose God's way over yours, then you start seeking His way. But how are you going to do that unless you go to school? You got to take classes. You got to study, do your homework, and come ready for the assignment the next day, getting ready to give a report and give a word on what you've learned. What are you talking about? Going to school, well, that is the mindset we should have as believers when we decide to empty up out everything that we have and follow Christ. See, it's very difficult for any of us, especially for ministers, to share the Word of God that is not encumbered by something you've been taught growing up. I grew up in the church. I learned certain things in the church. But thankfully, I was in touch with people that were well-grounded in the Word, so therefore, I learned to be cautious about some of the things I was taught. I look back over my life. I grew up in a church that was a wonderful church. Some great men of God have come out of that church, Pastor Wright being one of them, and others. But they did not talk much about the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Thank you. I didn't mean to imply that. Pastor Wright did, a godly man. But he was able to learn from the Lord instead of from the church itself. And you've heard me say this before. It's better for someone to get saved one-on-one with someone than to be saved under a religion. Because so many times we pick up that religion. So Pastor Wright and I grew up in this church, and we didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit, but because of our association with great men and women of God, Pastor Wright, myself, and others, we learned how significant is the Holy Spirit in our life. And then they're able to pass it on as well. So just because you've been taught something doesn't make it right. Just because you believe it doesn't make it right. Just because it's popular. Now, we see it all the time. We see sin has become so popular that we now have accepted sin not only in the world as being okay, but in the church. We have churches that are teaching things that are not biblically sound, but they're popular. You've heard of seeker churches, churches that call that are more concerned about the numbers than sticking to truth because they know truth is going to cause some people to reject it. Is that not true? In fact, the Bible tells us less people will make it to heaven than hell. It's pretty serious business. So you and I need to take responsibility to know the word ourselves. You need to be, you know what being grounded in truth is? It's you know on your own that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's well grounded. And that's done one at a time, one person. If I do anything or believe anything largely because it's popular and the people I follow believe that way, then I do not know personally what God's word is. I do not have a personal testimony. We need to have a personal testimony and know something because we know, because the word of God bears it out. One way or another. One reason why we have the Ten Commandments is so we can have some rudimentary, basic, skeletal structure of the Word of God. I mean, it's fairly simple. To honor your father and mother, to not lie, cheat, or steal, these are pretty basic things, but they're well-grounded in the Word of God. In other words, if you can establish these Ten Commandments in your life, all of them, break them down sometime and let it show you just how deep each one will take you into the truth of God in the mind of Christ. So if we are grounded in just the Ten Commandments alone, you got a great start because they're all from the hand of God himself. God wrote them himself for Moses. So we need to understand the very basics of Christianity because, believe it or not, folks, we're believing a lot of stuff that are missing the basics of God's truth. If you lie at all, if you are lazy, if you cheat, if you steal, if you show dishonor to our elders, these are basic truths that will get you way off course if you don't do them because they have roots attached to them. See, truth is one truth, and it's God's truth, and it's in the Word. It's well grounded in the Word. Lies and deception have many, many roots, and they will take you in different directions, and before long, you're believing and doing things that are far out there that you thought you would never do because you allowed yourself to be open. And therefore, your body takes in more and more. You start running with the wrong crowds. You start missing church every once in a while. Before you know it, you're not going to church. Or you find a church that fits your feelings. And they're out there. You may remember me telling a story about someone that I worked for in the school system that asked me what I thought about homosexuality. I said, well, very kindly, I said, I go about what the Word of God says. That's what I told her. I go about what the Word of God says. Her answer, you may remember, was, well, our church has worked out that issue. Did you hear what she was saying? The Bible was not their foundation. It didn't fit their narrative, so therefore it didn't apply. There are people today that don't believe God heals and does certain things. I talked to a man one day that belongs to the Church of Christ. Not to put that label on the rest of them, but his feelings were God does not speak anymore, and he does not heal anymore, he doesn't talk to us anymore. Where in the scripture would you find that? I don't find it anywhere. In fact, I see exactly the opposite. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what has happened is when they have not seen the scripture fulfilled in their life, they assume that it meant something else, where the actuality is they have changed and therefore they are not reciprocal to Jesus and they don't receive the blessings of God. They have stymied the word of God. And instead of seeing the need in their own heart to change, they assume that the Bible must have meant something else. And we built a whole religion on our opinion. What I think, what I feel, which is a really strong religion, what I feel. I just don't feel right about that. It's not that God doesn't speak through your emotions. It doesn't mean that God doesn't use them and help us. But if that is the only way you know right from wrong is by your emotions, then you will soon head down the path of destruction. See, the Bible says pride cometh before a haughty spirit, and a haughty spirit before the fall. See, pride and a haughty spirit, and all you have to do is look at Facebook. Look at people's Facebook. One picture after another of themselves. One after another with the duck lips and the whole bit. And a lot of these are women that are married. What are you trying to do? And they have found themselves comfortable with sin to where there's not even conviction. I don't think it's on, honey. No, I didn't. I'm sorry, I really was. I want you to say it again anyway. About narcissism, right? If you can't. It must be the battery. That's right. So say it again to me, kind, because I really didn't catch all of it.
Narcissism used to be a term we didn't use that commonly. Now it's just by actions. And narcissism is really big in our culture.
It really is. Narcissism. I was listening to a message just yesterday, and I believe, Connie, he used the word narcissism with a haughty spirit. So you're right on target. We don't like to think of ourselves as being these labels, do we? Well, narcissist, I would never. We don't like to be labeled with these words, but if we were honest, which is the first step of salvation, is honesty. You see, pride, and I could get into this, I don't want to do it too far off track. Pride is one thing. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Pride is one thing that you cannot rebuke out of yourself. Pride can only be eliminated through humility. Once you humble yourself, that is your act, then God can do the breaking and do surgery. But you will choose to be humble. That's what I'm saying. To be an overcomer, you've got to choose. It's your choice. If you're a prideful person, if you're one of those people that love pictures of yourself and over again, and that's pride. And that's a haughty spirit. And the only way to get rid of it is to humble yourself before God. Why do you think Jesus washed feet? He was trying to teach us humility. It's kind of hard to be haughty while you're washing someone's feet. Now, you may be dying and squirming inside like a worm. But if you stick with it, stick with the instructions of Christ. Everything God asked us to do through his Son was for our better, to save you from destruction. So we need to choose, are we going to be an overcomer or not? So you've got to empty yourself, and that's a choice. I do listen to other ministers, but I'm careful who I listen to. And I don't assume just because someone says something that it's Scripture. I want to look it up. And I always tell people, when you look up Scripture, read before and after what you're reading. To get a full context. See, we take things out of context. We pick out one little Scripture and say, and you run with it. And you create a whole denomination out of that one word. But you never bother to put it in context. We've got to keep things in context according to the Word of God. Always go back to the Word. Always go back to the Word to verify everything you believe. And I've said this before in some fashion or another. If I act differently here than my life with her, I'm a hypocrite. I pretend to be someone I'm not. That's what we joke about people that love to hack when they preach. That's religion. I'm not saying they're awful people at all. I'm just saying that if you're a hacker, that's religion. You picked up a habit that someone else did, and now you do it. Your prayer language is all yours. It's not someone else's. It's yours. And so God is looking for a people that are looking for him. He's looking for a people that want to look and act like him. Paul said it, but he earned the right to say this. Follow me as I follow Christ. He had earned that position. He could be trusted. Now, did he ever tell you, don't study the word, don't verify that what I'm saying? No, he never did. He didn't say blindly. He said, as I follow Christ. If he's not following Christ, you don't follow him. And that's what he's saying. If I get off, do not go in the ditch with me. Be grounded in the word. So you can follow people that are of God, and somehow they get off track. And if you're not careful, you will not see the signs, and you'll go right with them into the ditch. Grounded in the word, each one of us. Proverbs 3:7, and this is from the Amplified. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. You see the instruction there? Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't be haughty. Don't be prideful. Don't think that you got it all together. Go before God every day seeking his face, that he could reveal to you himself that day. Because if you have a revelation of God every day, if you renew your mind and you go before him, open, emptying yourself before him, you will never find yourself deceived because you're keeping him fresh before you. Some people have a great experience with God, but they never stay there. And after a while, they get cold, and they don't even know they're cold. They've changed because they haven't kept the relationship fresh. That's why the Bible tells us to review morning, noon, and night. In the same scripture, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income. Now, these are basic standard things that a lot of us already know about, but a lot of us still aren't doing it. Almost in any church, a small percentage takes care of the church. A small percentage tithes at least 10%. A small percentage gives in offerings or the other ways in the Bible. It shows us that we give the four ways. A lot of us, we're not doing the basics. Here's the problem. We're not doing the basics. Well, I haven't gone very deep. No, honey, you're shallow. You don't have to worry about going deep. You're shallow. I mean, you blow with the wind. You go to church. If you have a sore throat a little bit or you're not feeling the top, you skip church. But you won't miss Super Bowl party that night. No, we're shallow. Most of the church is shallow. They couldn't fight the devil if they knew how. Because you hand them the Bible and say, go after the devil. Devil, that Bible's not going to help them at all because they don't know anything about it. They can't pull up the Word of God. Not only can they not pull up the Word of God, they have no experience behind the Word of God. No testimony behind the Word of God. I can quote a scripture and not have a testimony. I can quote a scripture and not know anything about my God behind the scripture. You got to know the personality of God. You need to learn the personality of your God. He says, seek my face. That's a one-on-one relationship. We've talked about that. God is looking for someone that knows him when they see him. They sense his presence. They know when he's in the house and when he's not in the house. If you're in a church and you don't feel God's presence and you don't see them lining up with the word, you need to flee from the appearance of evil. Well, that sounds awful strong to call a church evil. No, what I'm saying is, if it's not the Word of God, what is it? It's the opposite of the Word of God. When you are born in sin, you already have a father. His name is Satan. You now, as a believer, are choosing a new father. And you have to put away all childish things, all foolish ways. Yeah, seek, knock, and ask. Yes. 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 So you have to have a relationship. Is not a relationship give and take? Did God not create you to fellowship with Him? Did you know that fellowship is giving and taking? You can't have fellowship on one side and not the other. You have fellowship when both agree to come together, Connie said. You need to understand that there is a communion with your Father. I mentioned the other day when we had our day of fasting. I went out one of the days I went out and prayed for quite a while. I took a five-mile walk, and I just started praying. I lifted up the needs that we were fasting over. I lifted up other needs while I was there because I'm in His presence. I start with praise and worship. I get into my prayer language, and I get into listening. It was when I got to the prayer language and listening that I felt the lift. Isn't that interesting? It was there because I was in a relationship. I was not only talking, I was listening. God has heard a lot of us talk, but not listen. That's good, Connie. So God wants us to be faithful in all things. And if you don't think that everything He's asked us to do are not tied to the other things, we're sadly mistaken. If God has said it's important to give from your labors of your harvest or to give from your increase, then He's telling you, if you will do that, now I can work with you in other areas as well. Your finances are deeply tied to the Word of God. Your kindness, your giving, your loving, your forgiving are directly tied to everything else He wants you to do. And we try to isolate God's Word like, I believe this part. Folks, there's only one page that separates the Old and New Testament. There's only one cover page that separates the Old and New Testament. God wants you to know the whole Word. And there are things that are beneficial from the Old Testament as well as now the New Testament, obviously. But if you're not a tither, if you don't give at least 10% of your tithe, you are lacking in every area of your life. It's pretty serious, isn't it? You are lacking somewhere in every area of your life because God told us to do it. He doesn't tell you to do things isolated over here. He said, I want you to love that person. I want you to help that person right there. And let's say you don't do it. But what you've done is you've isolated yourself from everything else in God's life for you. Not that He can't use you other places, but they're diminished. See, we begin to dilute the Word of God by ignoring part of it. We think, I'll do this, but not that. My personality. Now, my personality, I couldn't do that. It's exactly the opposite of what God's trying to do. He's trying to change that personality so that you can be whole. Shyness is not a blessing. There's nothing blessing about being shy. Now, you can be shy and doesn't make you a bad person at all. But if you do not give God your life and let Him take you out of that area and help you to grow, then you will always be in bondage to that shyness. And you'll never fulfill everything He has for you. How many ministers have you heard, including Pastor Wright, how many ministers have you heard tell you that when they were growing up, they were so shy, they couldn't hardly say a word in a crowd? And now they're these wonderful men and women of God. See, God changed them into what He created them to be. See, carnality comes in a lot of forms. We don't often think of shyness as being carnal, but shyness is really quite self-centered. It really is. It's all about how I feel and how I look, how I'll come across. that's going to be hard on me. I don't like that. I feel uncomfortable. Do you see the self-centeredness and all that? It's narcissistic to put ourselves before God, before the Word of God. Okay. So it is important that we're faithful in everything God tells you to do, underline it. Because it's connected to the other thing he's called you to do, to the other thing he's called you to do, and the next thing he's called you to do. It's all connected because it's all about him and one truth. You can't divide the truth up and hold on to truth. If you take truth and divide it up, then you have man's thinking. Then you have fragmented facts that doesn't have the whole truth, that doesn't see the big picture. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Always seek out God first. So shall your storage placed be filled with plenty. See, what he's talking about is what I just said. He's going to bless you if you do it. If you do these things and you give from your increase, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty. God has told us that if you give, he'll bless it, and he'll bless where you got it from. He'll bless the work that you're doing, where your tithe comes out of. Does that not make sense? It's wonderful, isn't it? So he's going to bless it and fill it to plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Now, there can be rich people that don't give, but I can guarantee you there are not poor people that give. Did you get that? You can be rich and not give, but you have no reward coming. But you cannot be a giver and be poor. And that is exactly what he's saying here, that he'll increase your plenty. A second way to be an overcomer, besides having a firm foundation, is we must have vision of where we are going. Proverbs 29, verse 18 from the Amplified says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word. Oh, there's that word again. His word. The people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the laws of God, that God is the law and our Lord and greater, who deserve and demands perfect obedience along with his covenant relationship in us and through us and for us. We need boundaries. And, of course, that's what God does. His word gives you boundaries. The Bible says, if you do this, if you do that, I will do this, I will do that. This is my promise to you. This is what I want to do for you. This is what I have for you. Everything's in the word, and it tells us right here, and his word. So to go back over that one more time, just to review a little bit, without vision, my people perish. We've heard that scripture. We all know that. What does it mean without vision? Without knowing my God. Without knowing what he has to say, without knowing what he thinks. If you're like me, you're very concerned about what God thinks about what you're doing. And if God's not in it, I want to know it. Do you? I'm sure you do. Are you willing to let go of something that looks good, smells good, tastes good, it's fun to do, but because God said, no, I'm letting it go? Well, Jerry does it. That's Jerry. I'm talking to you. We got a one-on-one relationship going here. I've got a job for you to do, and it's not the same path as Jerry. Jerry may be free to do some things. Then again, Jerry may be doing things because he's compromised, and you don't want to be compromised. If you're desired to be in the center of God's will, I mean the center. Well, how's that possible? Obey God. Do his will, not your own. Hide yourself in his word. Put on the mind of Christ. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God in his word, the people are unrestrained. They're like a loose cannon. There are people that are preaching all over the place, all kinds of ideas and things, and elaborating on the word of God in a way that does not expound upon it, but deletes it. See, it's one thing for me to get up here and teach the word and expound on it. Expound on the revelation of the word. It's another thing for me to go off on left field and tell you something I think it means. I have to know this before I teach it. I have to live this before I can share it. I cannot give you my revelation, but I can give you a reason to seek for it yourself and give you directions and point you in the right place. And it's up to you to say, yes, I want that too. Or no, I don't. I'm happy where I am. No, my life's good. I'm fine. I'm sufficiently satisfied. There are many people out there that will live with all kinds of stuff they don't have to live with because they don't want to bother with it. Seeking God's will, believing for healing, believing for finances, folks, that's not the weak person's way of living. That's going to require character and a desire to do God's will, to go against the grain, to be misunderstood and sometimes hated. That is what God requires of us if we are going to find what he wants us to seek. If it wasn't work, he wouldn't say seek. He'd just say, here it is. Take it. Claim it. No, because the enemy's going to get in there and try to discourage you and keep you from getting it. And you've got to be grounded in the word. You've got to decide, I don't want my way anymore. I'm emptying out everything. And I've had to work at that over the years because I've been taught things like everybody. And not everything is good that I've been taught. And what's really been even worse is the things that I wasn't taught at all. See, when you're not taught truth, something has to fill that void. If you are not taught the truth, you're not safe because you have not been responsible for hearing. You're in a place where now that empty space is going to be filled with something. Nothing in your life is left void. Something will fill it. And if you don't put God there, then without even trying, other things will move in and take residence in your heart. I mean, it's very natural. It's interesting because we're born in sin, how naturally we flow to sin. Does that make sense? We naturally flow to sin because that is what we were born in. We had the father of lies as our daddy. Of course, we're going to naturally flow. So if you do not fill that void with the kingdom of God and righteousness and truth and the word, then I guarantee you, you will naturally fill that without even thinking about it. And it will come so natural to you, so easy, because it strokes the flesh. Now, it's going to destroy you later. He'll kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. But he said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. God is exactly the opposite. And they're both right there in 10:10. So those are two of the ways that we establish an obedient heart to be an overcomer, to have a firm foundation, and to have a vision of truth. You got to have your vision or you'll perish. You got to know truth. You can't make it up and walk in it. You got to know his truth and hide yourself in him. And next week we'll get into part 4 on becoming an overcomer. It's your choice. We'll talk about the third part that we must have if we're going to be overcomers, besides a firm foundation and a desire for truth, to have a vision of what is right. And we'll do that. Well, thank you for being with us. If you would like and share, we sure appreciate it that we could share this with other people in the ministry. If you ever want my wife and I to come and be a part of your church, to minister, to teach, to do a seminar on anything, get a hold of me. We are getting ready to open up our website. It's just about there. It's called Water and the Word Ministries, found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. How we are to be washed, cleansed, and sanctified in the Word. And we've been talking about that today. So that website's coming up soon. But until then, get a hold of me through private message me on Facebook if you'd like us to come. And we'll certainly pray about it and see about coming to help in any way we can to help the church to grow. That's what Cynthia and I are here for, is to help the church to grow, to go deeper, and to move into the kingdom, closer and closer to God, right? Jesus, we bless you. Thank you for the word. We pray that you'll send it out, multiply it into the harvest, and people will be drawn in from the north, south, east, and west, that they'll be encouraged. Do not give up. God is not done with you. He's got a plan for your life, and it's full of his righteousness and his truth and his word. And I encourage you to get into the Word and stay in the Word and find a church that teaches the Word, that you may feed daily on the Word and fellowship with those who believe the same Word. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time. Part 4 on how to become an overcomer and third step, third form of foundation we need for that. Thank you so much.